Boldness is what we're going to be talking about today. And when you think of boldness, I can't think of a more predominant characteristic that was seen in the early church. See, those guys were so bold that they radically spread the gospel throughout the known world. It wasn't just, they were getting conversions one by one. Yes, that happened, but there was literally thousands of people that were coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and finding redemption and finding that they could be forgiven for the sins because of the resurrection of Jesus. But oftentimes we live in a world and in a culture today where we find that passivity is looked upon as the norm. We find here in the book of Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to pick up and read the story. But a little background as we get into this is what had happened here is Jesus had rose from the dead. He ascended. And as he ascended, he told his disciples to go into the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And then he commanded them that at that point, then they would go out and begin proclaiming the good news. Now, what ended up happening is the disciples met in the upper room, which is actually the temple at Jerusalem. And what happened there is the Spirit of God was poured out and God moved dramatically in the lives of people. And thousands of people got saved that day. And what's interesting is Peter and John, the next day after this amazing move of God, people got saved, people were baptized there. And Peter and John the next day, in their Jewish custom, were going up to the temple to pray. And they're walking by one of the doorways into the temple called the Gate Beautiful. And there's a man there, a crippled man. And Peter goes to him, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I have to you is to get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ." And at that moment, that crippled man rose up. See, there was a change and a shift that happened in the lives of Peter and John that caused them to be bold in that moment, where there was actually the leaders of the temple found out that that happened. And I could imagine as that happens, Peter and John, probably just casual and cool, they walk into the temple to do their thing, to do their prayers. But I could imagine that a lot of people who are there are like, "Did you see what happened? Could you believe what happened? Oh my gosh, do you see that?" And I can imagine the stirring that's going on, because the temple was a place that could literally house thousands of people. We had the opportunity to go there a few years ago and see the temple itself. And I could see this happening. And then word of that happening then rose up to the Sanhedrin, which was the leaders of the temple. And what ended up happening is they sent their policemen, if you will, down, and they actually arrested Peter and John for working a miracle. And then we pick up the story now in Acts chapter 4, verse 5, where they take Peter and John, who spent the night in jail, and now come to this discussion here. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. "The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, 'By what power or in whose name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in Scripture where it says, 'The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is no salvation in one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.' The members of the council were amazed. they saw the boldness. Everyone say, they saw. They saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see, again, they saw, that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Amen. What an amazing scripture here that we get to unpack and digest today. See, I have a few points when I think about boldness. One of the ways I view scripture and how I study is I see the result of something and then I am consumed with understanding the inputs and the variables to achieve that result. And we see here boldness was something that exhibited and was seen in the life of Peter and John. And what it was is that their lives were point number one today was formed by the Spirit. Boldness will be seen in our lives when our lives are spirit formed. See, prior to the resurrection, we know that Peter and John traveled with Jesus for years. And really, when you look at the life of Peter and you study it out in scripture, he's putting his foot in his mouth about every other time, right? Anybody read that before? You know, Jesus has his amazing time with Moses and Elijah on the top of the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter's like, hey, Jesus, let me make some tents here. We're going to make a camp here and we're going to make this special. And Jesus is like, dude, what are you talking about, man? We're not doing that. Or even the time when Peter has the Spirit of God reveal to him that Jesus was Messiah. Yet then ends up saying, you know what, Jesus, you can't die. You can't go to the cross. It's not God's plan for you. And Jesus looks at him, get thee behind me, Satan. See, I think sometimes in our lives, we all have people in our circles. Maybe it's our relatives or maybe it's friends and coworkers who you look at like, do you not have emotional intelligence? Can you not read the room and read this situation? And Peter was like one of those guys. Maybe you've been in a meeting or something like that where you're all around the table, you're strategizing, you're thinking, how are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to do this? And somebody makes the off-the-wall comment, right? And you and your friend in the room look at each other like, what's going on? That was a little bit like Peter. He could relate to that. We can relate to Peter that he should have gone to, Jesus really should have sent him to emotional intelligence class. Oh, Peter, we love him. But he's relatable. Because all of us make mistakes. Even I, myself, can find myself wondering if I'm looking like Peter sometimes. But John, you know, John is a younger guy. Peter's older. John is a younger guy. Yet he's kind of in the background. He stays in the shadows you see throughout Jesus' ministry. He's observing, but he's not really bold. He's more passive in his demeanor. I believe he's more passive in his mannerisms. And these guys were around Jesus. They were around Jesus to see the feeding of the 5,000. They were around Jesus when he calmed the sea and spoke to the storm. They were around Jesus when the blind man was healed, when cripples walked. Yet here they are when Jesus gets crucified. You can't find them with a searchlight. They're denying Jesus as the Lord. They're denying Jesus in their lives. But something happened after the resurrection to Acts chapter 4. They had an upper room experience. Their lives were not formed by tradition, but their lives were spirit formed in that moment. See, I wanted to share this. Proximity to Jesus is awesome, but it's only until we grasp intimacy with the Holy Spirit does transformation come in our lives. So you can come here week after week, but that does not mean that your life is going to be changed. There has to be a point in our lives where we open up our hearts to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, fill me. I want to experience change. I want to experience the goodness that you want to bring me. I want to experience your love and your kindness. See, fear and insecurity had dominated their lives to that point. But when they had that upper room experience, God moved on their lives. Another interesting layer about this story is the Sadducees, which was the council, but in that council, there was a sect called the Sanhedrin, which was made up of a lot of the priests, and they vehemently did not believe in the resurrection. So you can imagine, these are the leaders of the leaders, and here these guys are, speaking the name of Jesus, declaring the resurrection power of Jesus, and here they are, having their temple plan, their temple mold, all upset. And the apple cart is upset because of what Peter and John did. I love that in the word. There's so many different layers to this that's happening. But what forms our lives? Are our lives formed by culture? Are they formed only by our experiences? Are they formed by our traditions? The news media? The fake news media? Your four friends from high school? Or your three friends from college? Is that what your life is formed on? Or is it formed by your relationship with Jesus? By the life that God has imparted into you through him dying on the cross and being risen from the dead? See, I've experienced the boldness in my life, and that's why I can say this story today about boldness is a reflection, I feel like, oftentimes of me, and I can relate. See, our lives will be formed by somebody or something. Will it be the Word of God? Will it be the relationship with Jesus? Will it be the empowerment of the Spirit? Or will it be our experiences, or maybe even what we want? We have a choice in that. Let me just share a quick story. This is when I was getting my undergraduate degree in business, and I was taking a diversity management class. So, awesome class, and the professor, I'll call him Dr. C, because just to protect his name, one day was pretty adamant in his views of society and his views of life. And a few times during one of his discussions or teachings, he used the name of the Lord in vain a few times. And so I'm like kind of stirred up in my spirit, and I'm like, okay, well, this is going to happen. We didn't throw it down or anything like that. But no, I waited for him respectfully after class. And I say that respectfully because even the way Peter and John addressed those leaders in the temple, they still did it with respect. So you might not agree with somebody, and you do not have to agree with them if it is contrary to the word of God or what God has spoken to you. But it is one another thing that we always treat people with value and respect. And what ended up happening is I talked to him after class. Everybody kind of left. I waited, you know, until it was kind of one-on-one where I could have that discussion. I said, you know, thank you for class tonight. Appreciate what you shared. But, you know, you use the name of the Lord in vain, and I'm a Christian. And he kind of looked at me like, huh? And I'm like, why wouldn't you use the name of Buddha? Why wouldn't you use the name of Muhammad? Why do you pick on the name of Jesus? And then he turned white as a ghost. Because he knew he was had. See, boldness can be seen in our lives to confront culture, to confront our world that we live in. Amen? Amen. Boldness is there. Second point is, boldness is seen in our lives when we are spirit empowered. Everyone say, spirit empowered. See, I think our lives need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to the point where, like these guys saw, they saw the power of Jesus in their lives. Let's go ahead and look back here at Acts 4, verse 7. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? By what power or in whose name have you done this? See, they were, as I said, Peter and John were upsetting the apple cart. Why? Because power was available. So they knew that Jesus said, guys, it's better that I go away so that the power of the Holy Spirit can come. Even in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, as Jesus is ascending up, he says, wait in the upper room and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, that word power is the Greek word dynamis. And the word power that's translated in Acts chapter 4, verse 7 is the same Greek word that Jesus spoke out in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That word power is the same. Power is available to us in our lives to influence the world that we experience. No longer do things need to decay, but you can speak life to that situation. You can speak life to your coworkers. You can speak life to your family. You can speak the hope of the name of Jesus in those situations. See, a life of boldness is seen as a life of power because the authority of Jesus and the kingdom of God is present. And this power shocked those religious leaders. It was going against the grain. Why? Because they liked their mold. They liked the way things were. They had favor with Rome. There probably was some type of weird money issues even potentially going on there. But I love Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. So some of you maybe know my story a little bit of how I've been a pastor now coming up on 3 years. And before that, spent a lot of time in industry working operations management. And one of the characteristics that I had was people knew, hey, the guy in that office down there, he's a Christian. You need prayer for something, you go talk to him. I remember there was one time I'm working and the quality manager of the site came walking by my office and she goes, you know, you're a religious person, aren't you? I said, well, I wouldn't classify myself as a religious person. I would classify myself more as a follower of Jesus. But she started sharing how she had this situation in her body where she actually had a bag because her body could not process food. And I mean, she was young. She's like 30 years old. And I just remembered in that moment, I just like, hey, you know what? Can I just pray for you right now in this moment? Can I just put my hand on you and believe that Jesus in his miracle working power can heal you right now? And I put my hand on her. The next week she came back and she's like, Paul, let me just tell you, like, the doctor has said there's been change, there's been shift. She wasn't completely healed, but you know what? There was a shift and a change that happened. And she was a very, very agnostic person where she did not know what she believed about eternity or anything like that. But God was working in her life. Another one was a friend of mine who I worked with and we were co-workers together. And he was a really young believer and I would just preach to this guy during our breaks. I would just tell him about the things of God. I would inspire him. I would challenge him. And he shared a text with me a couple weeks ago. It says, Paul, you do not know how much you've impacted my life. And during that time, his career has soared. He sent me a picture like a year ago. He's not just driving a car to work. He's getting on planes going to facilities because he's reached that kind of very high level executive leadership. And he says he attributed so much of the life that I would always speak to him and encourage him with. See, church, God has placed and poured out his spirit that signs and wonders could follow the boldness that we live in. That when we see people who are hurting, we can meet them with compassion. Jesus healed so many people, you see in scripture, when he was moved with compassion. It was one thing to do something physically for them, and we need to do that. We're doing Serve Day here next week, and I want you to sign up, be a part. Hey, you could join my team as we're going out to the trailer parking and be cleaning up. But God wants to bring healing, heart mending to people in our world, and he will not do it just through counselors. He wants to do it by the supernatural power of his Holy Spirit. Church, we need to begin exhibiting that. We need to begin sharing that. This empowerment that he gives us needs to inform our lives. It needs to change us that we could go out and reach the world that God wants us to. Third point, boldness is seen when we are spirit-filled. Everyone say, spirit-filled. Verse 13, Acts chapter 4 says, verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Spirit. See, Peter had an encounter with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And that encounter turned him from a man who was passive, a man who was insecure, a man who was full of fear, to a man who was bold and could stand and see the lame walk, could stand in front of the religious leaders and speak hope and truth to them. Boldness does not happen in our lives unless we have an upper room experience. See, time in the presence of Jesus is where we find that infilling of the Spirit. We can come here to church, and that's amazing. But I'll tell you what, some of my favorite times are when no one's around, when it's just me and Jesus, and I can share and pour out my heart to Him, and He can pour His love, His empowerment into my heart. And my life can be changed. And my life can be lifted. See, it's not the pictures that we share with people. It's an experience that will transform and change their lives. Pastor Zeus talked about it during the offering. It is those experiences. See, last year, I'll share a quick story here. We had the opportunity to go on Zion National Park. If you've ever had the opportunity to go there, I want to encourage you. Now, I could, to encourage you, get out my phone, show you my photos, show you my Instagram reel, but it won't do it justice. It'd be a whole nother thing if I said, Pastor Zeus, I got two tickets here, buddy, and we're going to Vegas, and we're renting a car, and we're going back to Mount Zion. We're going to go back to Zion National Park. Because it's one thing to have a picture painted or described. It's a whole nother thing when we experience it personally. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He is a personal God who wants to experience life with you, who wants to give you an experience where your life can be transformed, where your life can be changed, where it's not just Him coming that we could have eternal security, but Him coming that we could live a life of boldness and power. That's why He wants to come. That's why He's here. See, a few months after I was saved, I found myself with a friend of mine. We're at his house watching football, and his mom comes over and says, "Hey, you need to come to church with me tonight." And I'm like, "Church? Why do I?" You know, I was saved, and I was reading my Bible, and I really genuinely saw God doing some amazing things in my life. Like circumstances and situations were changing, my desires were starting to change, but she brought us this small Pentecostal church. And I remember specifically that the man was up there speaking. He was talking about how God had spoken to him some things. And I was just like, wow, God can speak to you? See, no one had ever told me that. No one had ever told me that the Holy Spirit speaks, that He wants to communicate, that He wants to connect with us, that He wants to lead us and guide us. And what ended up happening is the man got done speaking and we got into another time of worship at the end of the service. And I remember sitting in the back, lifting up my hands, crying because the presence of God was all over my life. And I remember saying to myself, this is the God of the Bible. See, I grew up in a traditional church, and praise God, they preached eternal security. Faith in Jesus gets you to heaven. But nobody shared with me power. No one shared with me that I could be set free. Nobody shared with me that I could have purpose and meaning in my life until I began recognizing and encountering the Spirit of the living God. It was at that moment. That the man who spoke, you know what? He's one of our favorites here, John Bevere. And that was 20 some years ago. And it marked my life. It radically changed my life and changed the trajectory of my life, where things were good, and that's awesome. But now God had a hold of me. He began directing me and leading me and putting boldness in my heart because I embraced a spirit-filled life. Amen. Pastor Evan, can you hand me one of those water bottles? See, there's contention around the idea of being spirit-filled, and I know that. How many of you know that this water bottle right here is full, right? I'm gonna take the cap off. What ends up happening is, as I'm walking around, what's happening? As I'm making movement in my life, what's happening? It's spilling out. It's spilling out. See, when your life is filled, God will spill out of your life. God spills out of your life as you're making movement. The Spirit of God is not just for you. It is there to impact the people around you. It is there to impact the world that God has called you to live in. It is there because He wants to impact the people around you, the coworkers, your family. It's not just for you. It's for others. And so maybe you're here today. You're like, I want to live that bold life. You want your life to be spirit formed. You want your life to be spirit empowered. And you would say, I want my life to be spirit filled. Let's bow our heads. If you know that's you, in this moment, I just want you to do something. I want you to be bold and take that first bold step. If you're here and you'd say, I want to be someone who lives bold, someone whose life is spirit formed, someone whose life is spirit empowered, someone whose life is spirit filled, I want you to slip up your hand right now. All across this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna challenge you one more time, and this is gonna be really uncomfortable, but I want you to come down to this altar here. I want you to stand up from your feet and come down here. I wanna pray over your life. I believe that God wants to fill you right now in this moment. He wants to give you bold, radical faith to live out the life that He's destined for you to live.